I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Peter, joined by Tom. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks for asking. In looking at this week, once again, work has called and he can't make it. So we will go, we always go first, Tom. We'll start with some kind of housekeeping with the leagues and stuff like that, then on to general chit-chat for the game week. So the league, Half Hour Fantasy Podcast League, the top three, it was no change this week. So I think it's the first time since game week one that nobody's jumped at the top three or fell back out. But the top two have now jumped over the 4-point mark. So Johnny McSauce, John Cameron, 42 points, took the 405. And your fantasy team name, Jamie, 49 points to 403. So there's the leaders in that one. There wasn't really any standout score this week, so I didn't bother looking through, I think, because basically Celtic and Rangers both dropped points. A lot of captain choices weren't picked. So I think the highest score I've seen in the league was in the roughly 60 mark, so nothing to kind of really write home about. John Cuffrey Cup, John? John? John Cuffrey Cup. Tom, want to talk us through it? Semi-final draw, you're in it, so.
Oh, just how I got on?
Yep.
That was a good game week for me this week. Obviously, knocked out FPL Iron, so another scalp. I completely ignored the Celtic Rangers for captaincy and vice. I went with Captain Boyle and Vice-Captain Boyce, so that got me 29 points. So I think that was kind of the decider, given that I'd say they're probably a reasonably strong template starting to form now. So I was quite happy with that.
Yep, you were the overall top scorer for two game weeks combined as well. You texted to let me know that one because you were quite proud of it, obviously. So there's four people left. Obviously, you can go to my Twitter and you see it. I believe it's yourself versus FPL Haggis, is that right? Mm-hmm. And Sutty versus Donnie and 77, that's the semi-finals. They will be the next 2 weeks, and then also the final 2 weeks after that, and we'll have our inaugural winner of a John Cuffrey Cup. So you already started to talk about your score. Tom, take us through your score for the game week and your overall rank.
So my score was 61 points total. Goalkeeper was Xander Clark for 7 points. I had McKenzie and Ramsey from Aberdeen, 2 points and 3 points respectively. Tav only got 1 point. McCart for St Johnstone, 6 points. Paul McGinn, 7 points. Midfield, I had Captain Boyle for 14. Yota and Abada both just got 2 points. Nisbet just 2 points. And Vice-Captain Boyce for 15 points. And nothing was left on the bench.
And your rank?
And rank is, I think I jumped up quite a bit. Mega League, 613.
Good. I was thinking that because the cup, the process of winning in the cup and getting through in the cup, you're obviously averages of beating the person next to you. So I'd like to thought weekly you should be taking rank rises,
yeah,
until you're knocked out. I have that kind of makes sense. Right, so I had 45 points for the week. So I brought in Gordon, no points, but that's more about forward planning the game weeks coming ahead, and his price, mm-hmm, his price rise. So I wouldn't be able to go up if I didn't take him this week. And I think I alluded to it, was probably best set and forget now until another goalkeeper maybe appears often the same kind of stats and bonus point magnet kind of thing. But anyway, back to my team. Gordon, 0 points. Captain Tavernier, 2. McCart, St. Johnson, 6. Ramsey, 3. I think you mentioned Tom earlier on. Ramsey, even though on a losing team, still managed to collect one bonus point. So he seems to be some sort of another magnet that just keeps getting an extra point every so often. In midfield, Boyle 7, McGuinness 2, Turnbull 4, Jota 2, up front, Griffiths 2, vice captain Boyce 15, Ramirez 2, 45 all out. So I will go to the game week 5 results and we'll see if anything stands out. Obviously, stuff is standard. So on Saturday with Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 1. I guess Aberdeen lost 7 or 8 in the trot, all in, 7 I think in all competitions.
Mm-hmm.
Aberdeen 2, St Mirren 2, Ross County 2, Hearts 2. And on to Sunday, Dundee United won the Derby 1-0, Livingston won Celtic 0, and Rangers won Motherwell 1. So you can see that was all the top six, not granted the league game, none of them won. So
that's right.
Thought you'd get your thoughts on that, Tom, and then you can run us through your top time regarding the results.
Yeah, so just a kind of general rundown, both Celtic and Rangers dropping points. It's hard to justify investing heavily in either of the two. I think most people will have two or three Celtic anyway. They'll have at least Tavernier as well, which is probably enough. I wouldn't be too critical of anyone thinking about dropping a Celtic mid and maybe just going with the one. Dundee United have had decent form and they are now top for clean sheets. So Dundee United defenders looking decent, particularly those that are maybe getting a bit disheartened with McKenzie. Obviously Aberdeen failed to keep a clean sheet. I think when weighing up the options of McKenzie and Ramsey, as we said, is a bonus point magnet. I think that's due to the fact he creates so many chances. So sticking with Ramsey is a cheap option. He's not busting your bank, and at least you've got the possibility of getting some attacking returns if Aberdeen don't keep a clean sheet. Whereas McKenzie, about the same price, but not assured of starts, less likely to give you attacking returns, less likely to get bonus. So maybe a switch from McKenzie to a Dundee United defender might be a decent option. Ross County managed to put two past Hearts, which ended 2-2. I don't think there's any one standout Ross County player. Spittle, he had the big haul this week, which is his, I think that was his only attacking return so far this season. And I think his haul makes up over half of his total points. Reagan Charles Cook got the assist. Maybe he's slightly more consistent, but Ross County do seem to be finding some form. Hibs, that was another attack and return for Paul McGinn. He seems to be kind of the standout Hibs defensive option. Scott Allen assist. We can maybe consider him as a he was the kind of forgotten man last season. He was out for most of it due to health issues, so he might be a nice cheap Hibs option, but I'm struggling to see past McGuinness as the kind of budget Hibs option amongst the attackers. Boyle's obviously still our main man. I'd say he's undroppable just now. And Brophy, starting to live up to his price tag of 5.3 million. So he scored for St Mirren again. So I think St Mirren have a reasonable run of fixtures as well. So he's one to keep an eye on too. In terms of Hearts, I've already mentioned them. Boyce and Gary Mackay-Stevens seem to be the two standouts. I think Gordon would be a decent option in the long term as well. He seems to attract the bonus points a bit like Ramsey. And Dundee, Lee Griffiths again failed to score. And obviously Celtic's poor performance. I probably wouldn't be rushing to get a Yeti yet. And that's it. That was my take homes from the weekend.
Any players? Oh, you mentioned a few there. Any other players added to the watch list? Just the ones you mentioned?
Well, I think we're going to speak about strikers. So there's a couple in there that I'm keeping an eye on. Brophy's one of them. There's another one. But we can talk about that down the line.
Okay, we're getting there soon. Right, first up then is the fixtures for next week. Have a look, see what we've got coming up. September fixtures. Right, so again, Saturday, there is three 3pm kickoffs. So with a bit of luck, you should get six early team news. That's Dundee versus Rangers, Hearts versus Livingston, Motherwell versus Ross County, St Mirren versus Aberdeen, Celtic Dundee United and Hibs versus St Johnstone. Again, I wouldn't make any early transfers because there is midweek League Cup action. So quite a few teams involved in that. So again, I would wait to the Friday before even thinking about it. So Tom, there's the fixtures. What is your captains and transfers this week? I'm on the wrong bit, am I? Transfers, captains, vice captains in the FPL this week before going to our topic?
I think my plan will be to get rid of Nisbet. I don't think he's living up to the price tag. I won't go into that because our topic of this week is forwards. Probably get rid of him, go for a cheaper option, which we'll talk about. And I'm looking to free up the funds to, I think I'm going to try and get Gary Mackay-Stevens back. I dropped him in favour of having two Celtic mids, and probably in the long run that's not played out too good, but Gary Mackay-Stevens is ticking along nicely, so I want to get him back. So I think I've got Charlie Adam, who it seems to be depreciating in value on a weekly basis, so I need to get rid of him. So I think that'll be the next move. I might take the hit, not too sure. See how we go. I tend to try and target teams that are playing Ross County because they do seem to concede quite a lot. Hibs are playing St Johnstone, so that St Johnstone have been fairly tough defensive-wise. Celtic are playing Dundee United. I'm not particularly confident about Celtic just now, and Dundee United are top for clean sheets at the minute. St Mirren Aberdeen, I don't know if it's going to be a goals fest. Motherwell, I could see them doing well against Ross County. But for me, I think probably vice-captain will stay on Boyce for Hearts, and I could be tempted to captain Tav just because Dundee aren't looking too good.
Okay. I have also got a transfer up front decision. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll get to the question, obviously. And with you, topic of... I want to captain a season with Fielder Rest Underrated, but I do think it looked that good. So I might just be the same as you, Tom. I might just stick with Boyce, vice captain, and Tavernier as Dundee, because it's not very often Tavernier will return blank to in a trot. So, and Dundee, mm-hmm. Dundee look poor. Right, you've heard us allude to it quite often through the podcast. So, the topic this week was originally going to be about the strikers anyway. Then, most of the questions actually alluded to it. So, it is basically what do you do with strikers? I'll read the questions out one at a time and kind of we'll cover them, but it's a lot of questions will sound a bit samey, but we'll go for it anyway. So the first question comes from the Scottish Fantasy Football Community. Hibs Aberdeen asset plan. So this question isn't actually about the striker, so here we go. Most people seem to be holding 3+ Hibs Aberdeen players on their team, 5 in our cases, and upcoming fixtures look tough to navigate. They play Celtic Rangers game week 8, then each other in game week 10, and we wanted to know if this will influence transfer decisions for the current game week. So if you look at Sutty's texture, Tom, you can see... Oh, let's move back 10 minutes. Where are we, game week 7? Aberdeen get St Mirren away. They're not in good form. Then it's Celtic at home, Dundee away, Hibs at home, Rangers away, and Aberdeen, and sorry, and Hearts at home. And Hibs have got St Johnstone home, Rangers away, Dundee away, Aberdeen away, Celtic at home. So, out of that, I'm not really too fussed with Hibs assets. If it's Boyle, I think he's like you keep him anyway. If you're going to, obviously, you're thinking about getting rid of Nisbet, or if you advise it, McGuinness, you keep him again because he's been points quickly flying through. With Aberdeen, I have got Ramsey, McKenzie, and Ramirez. I'm thinking about getting rid of Ramirez this week, but we'll talk about that again. And probably keeping Ramsey and McKenzie as my cheap option just for this week. Mm-hmm. And maybe upgrade him. So it's not a question about strikers, but it's going to cost strikers because Ramirez and Nisbet came up. They're the two heavy hitters up front for both teams, and they aren't really returning. So what's your thoughts on Aberdeen Hibs assets over the next 4 or 5 game weeks?
For Nisbet, I think he's just too much money, and he's lacking goals just now. He has had 18 shots so far this season, only 2 on target. So he's not justifying the price tag. So I'd be looking to get rid regardless. But again, the fixture run doesn't look too good. St Johnstone, Rangers, Dundee United, Aberdeen, Celtic is the upcoming 5 fixtures. So very, very tricky. I'd be looking to get rid of him. I'm quite happy with Boyle. I think he's a season keeper just now. And McGinn, I could see... I mean, I'd probably say the vast majority of managers use the bench trick. And if there's any sort of ambiguity of how you think Hibs are going to perform over the weekend, I mean, St Johnstone are coming up. They're not the best attackers. I mean, they're decent defensive, but not the best attackers. So McGinn could quite easily keep a clean sheet there. He does offer attacking threat too. So you could always park him on the bench, play a non-playing player and see if he comes on, if he does get a haul. And that kind of covers the three kind of main Hibs assets. If you own McGuinness, I mean, he's not taking too much of your funds. So again, he could be another one where you could use the bench trick. Looking at Aberdeen, I don't think Ramirez is too bad an option. I think he's a bit of a different story. We'll probably go into that in a bit more detail. It really depends on who else you're holding. I kind of alluded earlier that McKenzie was for the chopping block for me. I'd probably be looking to switch over to Ryan Edwards at Dundee United, given how well they performed defensively. And he seems a bit more assured of starts. Ramsey, I think you could probably keep. Again, his price tag is he's very, very cheap. He's most people would have had him from game week one, possibly two. So I think he was about 2.1, was he, at the start of the season? He's almost as cheap as a non-playing player.
He was 2.0, I think, right at the start.
I mean, if you look at the grand scheme of things, it's probably not going to be too difficult to keep him. You could park him on the bench as well for the time being. It kind of depends on the strength of your team. But for me, Nisbet's going to go regardless. McKenzie's going to go regardless. And I'd probably look to stick with Boyle. You could bench the other ones. Because even if Hibs get a jammy penalty, you could still get returns. So that would be my approach.
So it's interesting to see Ramirez stay, because I watched the extended highlights of Aberdeen the weekend, and I thought Ramirez looked really poor. Misses a lot of chances. He's a lot of money in the game. And I mean, you mentioned Brophy. I mean, we'll just get in and out. I was thinking Brophy, Van Veen, Watt, keep Boyce's other one, he's going to stay. So I was looking for my potential to be three cheap strikers, and the money was spent elsewhere in the team. Because Ramirez, I've got Ramirez, Boyce and Griffiths now. So my dilemma is getting one of them out next week. I like Motherwell's fixture, so I like Van Dien as a player, apart from the fact he always collects yellow cards like a badge of honour. It's Ramirez or Griffiths going to Van Dien probably this week for me. That's what I'm looking at.
Do you have Griffiths?
Yeah, took a punt on him when to get rid of Nisbet. And he's frustrating. I mean, he's in the box, he's having chances, but he's really frustrating and he's not anywhere near it. And it was only a couple of week punt. I can also, he's still a decent price point that I can just kind of go anywhere else down the way. So he gets one more game week, I think. I think I'm going to do Ramirez this week. I know what's going to happen. The one I got, the other one will score as a certainty, but I think I'm going to do Ramirez this week and then keep Dundee striker can go next week. Probably stay St Mirren, because then St Mirren have Livingston and Ross County next. So if Brophy's good, then it'll be day two games. That's the plan anyway. Before I get any further, Tom, I forgot to ask you if you had your update with the bonus point returns.
Oh, you in the top 20?
Yes.
So our top 20 scorers, if we kind of break it down for this game week, we have goalkeepers came in at 2, defenders 9, midfielders 5, and forwards 4. There wasn't as many clean sheets this weekend, so I think the points are more evenly spread out. If we compare this to game week 1 to 5, 12 goalkeepers in total, 43 defenders, 28 mids, and 16 forwards. So looking at a combination of, up until this point, the story so far is 14 goalkeepers, 52 defenders, 33 mids, and 20 forwards. So I think defenders are by far the best performing position. We kind of talked about previous pods, you don't have to plow a lot of money in, you just have to invest wisely. Paul McGinn is now tied with Ralston for the top defender position. So he's ticking along nicely. Tav is second. Dundee United, we mentioned as well, the top team for clean sheets, 4 in the last 6, including against Rangers. So that's not to be sniffed at. I think Ryan Edwards and Mulgrew are the top defensive scorer for Dundee United, both with 25 points each. However, Ryan Edwards is 0.7 million cheaper. And after Celtic this weekend, they have a good run. But considering how poorly Celtic have played on the weekend, you could even fancy Dundee United for a clean sheet. And Edwards, his price, I think he's like 2.7 or something like that, 2.4. So he's not even that expensive. You could even use him as part of the kind of bench trick. Nice. Midfielders, Midfielders, Boyle still the kind of main man. Celtic assets are probably looking less attractive. I kind of mentioned that earlier. Guy Mackay-Stevens, McGuinness ticking along. Spittle, I mentioned that, his big haul is 14 points, making up over half his total score, which is 27. Strikers are underperforming considering the price tag. And I can probably just jump into that just now. I'll kind of go into the thinking behind Nisbet and Ramirez. I think I've already mentioned it with Nisbet. 18 shots, 2 on target. Too much money, poor run ahead. Yep. Ramirez, though, I think he's a bit better than Nisbet. He actually has 2 goals rather than the 1, and he also has 5 bonus points, and he's the 3rd highest scoring striker in the game. So more of a dilemma there for me, because downgrading, it's not going to pick you up as much money as if you were to downgrade Nisbet. So if we do consider our options, I'd probably say everyone has Boyce by now. I think I was late to the party getting him last week. But by now, if you don't have Boyce, then I would seriously consider getting him in. If you say Nisbet's gone, I mean, you've already got rid of Nisbet, I'm looking to get rid of him this week. That leaves Boyce, Ramirez, and then who else is going to be your third striker? You're maybe looking at a Motherwell option, which we'll come on to next. We've got a question about that as well. So Boyce, Ramirez, Motherwell option. So say we get rid of Ramirez, who are we going to get? We're going to get Brophy in at St Mirren. That only frees up 0.0 million. So you're not getting the benefit of freeing up lots of funds to invest elsewhere. The fixtures are maybe slightly better. And exactly the same carbon copy. Like Ramirez, he has 2 goals and 5 bonus points so far. If we look at shots on target, he has 6 in comparison to Ramirez's 4, so not really a substantial amount. Neither of them have created any big chances, but Brophy has created 3 chances to Ramirez's 2. So again, not a huge amount there. What else could we do if we're not going to go for Brophy? We could double down on Motherwell and go for 2 Motherwell strikers. They do have Ross County next, so you could do that as maybe a 1-week option, but long term, they go on to play Hearts, Celtic, Dundee United, St Mirren, Rangers and Aberdeen. So I'd say that's maybe tough for a double up. And really the only other option after that was if you're inspired by Ross County, you could maybe look at Jordan White. Bruce Anderson's kind of fell away from form for Livingston. So that's why I'm thinking Ramirez isn't too bad an option. And you maybe want to give the guy a bit of time. He is obviously new to the league. Needs a bit of bedding in. Aberdeen, transitional team. A lot of players in and out over the summer. I don't know if it's as cut and dry as getting rid of Nisbet with Ramirez.
Maybe just Aberdeen's form worries me. That's the thing. I mean, they've only scored 6 goals all season. Now, 2 draws and 2 losses in the league. I know there's not much else to go. So Motherwell look the best option. Ridley's going to have boys. And it's just a pity that Rangers Celtic strikers are too expensive. You can't get to them. And most people can't get to them to do that thing. Right, okay, Tom. Next.
Even if we upgrade, they're not really living to their price tag.
No, they're not. Right, next question is from Sean McGreedy. Scoosh 2605. Pretty much been covered. But is Nisbet's points return good enough for his price tag? Or should I start looking to replace him with someone with a better points return for his value to free funds up elsewhere on the team? So I think that's a big yes from both of us.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
There's not to say that a point will come where he hits a purple patch and maybe scores a couple of goals. But again, it's a price point of value, and he's not returning so far.
And he's not in penalties anymore.
Nope, true. Right, next up is from Craig Smith at Glasgunian. Who is the best Motherwell forward, Van Veen, or worth the extra money for what? So you're looking at this 2 minutes ago, Tom. On you go.
Yeah, I've actually went a bit of detail with this because I think he's maybe perhaps missing a trick with Woolery as well. I think he could be an option too. Just run you through the stats if we compare the 3. Van Veen has only had 4 starts because he was injured for that period of time. So 4 starts for Van Veen, 5 for Watt and 6 for Woolery. So Woolery has started all games. Shots on target wise, Van Veen has 4. Tony Watt has 6 and Woolery 7. Again, top for that stat as well. Big chances created. Van Veen's on 2. Tony Watt, none. And Woolery, 1. So Van Veen tops that one. And for chances created, Van Veen, 4. Tony Watt, only 1. and Woolery 5. So Woolery's not a bad option. Van Veen now comes back into the starting 11, and that pushes Watt out wide. So I feel Van Veen will now outperform Watt in the long term. Woolery's stats need to be considered as well. But for me, I think probably Van Veen's the man. I think he would probably have similar stats to Woolery if he started all six games. I also looked at Tony Watt's points returns in comparison to the presence of Van Veen, because Van Veen missed all of game week 3, and I think he only played about 27 minutes in game week 4. Watt has a total of 3 goals and 1 assist, but 2 of those goals and assists came from game week 3 and 4 when Van Veen wasn't even on the pitch. So for me, the fact that he goes out wide and Van Veen's now down the centre, I think it's probably going to be Van Veen on the end of these balls, scoring the goals, setting them up. Certainly, he's created 2 big chances and made 4 chances as well. So he also offers assist potential there as well. Whereas Watt, 1 chance, no big chances. So for me, Van Veen, nailed.
I like Van Veen as well. I had him at the start of the season, I had to take him out of injury, but I like him as that cheap option. But again, as you said there, Tom, if all 3 are playing, I suppose you could, if something happens to Van Veen, you can always move to the side, take him back. They're still cheap, but it'll also help you a bit of form. Fixtures look not too bad. So, I don't think Celtic, but that's at home. So, I think about, in fact, they've still got Rangers, but they're both at home next 7 or 8 games. So, it's not like they're playing away in Glasgow. So, it's not offer a punt cheap on the bench. Right, next up question. Josh McShee at Footblog. We can either cover this as green, so cover the same question, but here we go. Should we be getting rid of Ramirez, considering his poor form and Aberdeen's upcoming fixtures? They have Celtic, Hibs, Rangers, Hearts in the next 4 or 6. If so, who's a good replacement? So I've went for, I want to get rid of him, but you want to keep him. And we've already mentioned...
Well, I don't know if it's a good use of your transfer, because who's the replacement? That's the thing. If you don't own Van Veen, then fair enough, maybe go Van Veen. But then after Ross County, they're going to have Hearts, Celtic. I mean, obviously mentioned Celtic defensive-wise, but...
It's just there's not that many options. We've mentioned the names over and over again. It's kind of... If you don't trust Ramirez and his fixtures form, then yeah, maybe jump to Van Veen, Watt, Woolery. Maybe a punt in Brophy if you want to go down that road.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a case of keep a close eye on Aberdeen's form. Because if we don't turn around soon, then they're not scoring goals, they're not winning games, and he's not also worth having in your team. But for me, I think I texted the chat to you and Gunnar, I'm looking for a really cheap front for you guys that are just nailed and just totally return every so often. Boyce is just set and forget. Van Veen is the one I'm going to this week, I think.
Yep.
And then I'm going to get Griffiths or Ramirez. I haven't decided yet. One last game week, whoever it is, to see where they go. Griffiths can be nailed. Ramirez is nailed. But obviously, Ramirez is playing a better team. But it stands out that they're not that much a better team. Aberdeen's on kind of free fall as well.
But there's a bit to Van Veen for me.
Yeah. I'm going Ramirez, probably Van Veen. Watch Ramirez score. Hmm. Right. Any other questions here? Probably the emphasis is saying same question situation for me, so we've covered that. Brian Blaze Attack has asked, instead of 3 strikers, would you like to see an option for a floater position in the squad so you could potentially have 6 defenders or midfielders? For me, that's a hard no. Don't like that idea. Bit hard to kind of work it out.
What was that one, sorry?
It was a question given an hour ago for Brian Blaze Attack. Instead of 3 strikers, would you like to see an option for a floater position in the squad so you could potentially have 6 defenders or midfielders?
It'd be tricky to kind of play that one out, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, given the last 2 seasons, strikers have notoriously underperformed. So, that wouldn't be a bad idea, I suppose. Rather than have that third striker spot, you could just have it as a floater.
We haven't mentioned things like, I mean, you can get Morelles and Roof if you want. You can get it. It's just obviously you have to do a total different structure of your team. But the game's done it that way, so you can't have these strikers in the team and have the big hitters, which makes the game interesting. So if you want to go for Morelles or Roof, for example, hit a bit of form, then you need to downgrade elsewhere. And this year, the game's obviously made a bit of boo-boo with Kyogo being as a midfielder. So all things considered, in a couple weeks' time, you're going to have a Celtic striker in your midfield for less than 6 million. So that's a kind of a cheat code. It's who goes out from, I suppose, and how you balance that out. That's when I suppose you need to actually really cheap mid up front to get him in as well. I think that is all our questions for the week. Anything else to add to that? Anything else you want to bring up? Anything I've missed out?
No, I think we've covered it all, really.
Right. So, it's Van Veen for you this week?
Yep, Van Veen.
Van Veen for me. And you are not saying, what is it you said? The price difference between Ramirez and Expert Down doesn't mean it's potentially worthwhile taking a downgrade for somebody who's not maybe playing for a good-as team?
I mean, if you've got... I mean, if you're downgrading to Van Veen, then fair enough. But if you're sitting there with Boyce, Van Veen, Ramirez, and you're going to get rid of Ramirez for someone else, then I think maybe the transfer might be better placed elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Chances are you've probably got other stuff going on in your team. Like you could get rid of McKenzie for a Dundee United defender or something like that. Somewhere where you're maybe more likely going to get some points. Whereas Ramirez is probably just as good as the next guy when it comes to that.
Okay, I'll take it on board. Push, come to shove, but right, see, you've got a team with Boyce, Van Veen and Ramirez. Who would you move? If you want to 100% go to Ramirez, who would you move for?
I probably would double down on Motherwell, so it's probably going to be Brophy or maybe take a punt on Jordan White, because I don't think Ross County's fixtures are too bad. They've got Motherwell, Dundee United, St Mirren, Livingston, Dundee as the next four or five there. Mm-hmm. And then they start to kind of hit Hibs, Rangers after that, six and seven. So they've got a nice kind of green run there. Jordan White, Ross County are starting to play in a bit of form. I mean, defensive-wise, stay away, but goals-wise, they're certainly amongst the goals. So I think he could be a decent punt.
There you go. So I answered the question. That was a topic completely. I think over the last week we've been building up to this. Every so often we talk about strikers and how we're going to get them. And it's kind of just came to a crescendo this week.
That's right.
With the whole striker situation. Right, we'll move on to FPL then, Tom. So I'll quickly go through the league top three and then we will take it from there. Right, change at the top. First is UEFA Lona, Mike Mayer, 78 points. Second is Hello You Kent, Tom Forrest, 77 points. Third is Yushi Gang, Murray McDermott. And I think for the third time, I'm going to double check down here. The highest point goal scorer is the one at sitting top. So I'll have a quick look through his team. Sign goals, no points. Duffy 5, Shaw 2, Rudiger 14, Ailing 2, Salah captain 24, Sar 15. Jota 3, Gray 2, Banford 5, and Ronaldo 6. So I'll go through my team first, Tom, and then you can kind of quickly go through your wild card, how it compared to your week before team, and then we'll take it from there. So I had Foster in goals because Backman didn't play. So the trick of having two keepers for the one team worked, 3 points there. Kufal 1, Veltman 1, Shaw 2, in midfield, Gilmore 3, Captain Salah 24, Fernandez 2. Benrahma 10, Son 2, Ivan Tony 12, Armstrong 2. So I had four players on the bench. I brought in Rickarlison, didn't know he was injured, so that was a wasted punt. So that was that gone. Trent didn't play because he supposedly got COVID. Backman didn't play because he's carrying a knock. And Williams obviously didn't have enough. They lost many goals, 3, so he had no points. So that was 62 all out for our overall rank now of 149. So even during all that, I still had a green arrow. At 149k. So you want to talk us through your game week scores, Tom, and how it compared to your pre-wildcard team?
So I had 58 points. I was on the wild card. I stuck with Sa, who got me no points. I would have been better off with Foster. He managed to get 3, but he was on the bench. Marcel 1. So the Wolves defensive looked fairly solid, managed to concede 2 goals to Brentford of all teams. Never mind. Duffy, he managed to get 5 points, didn't hold up for the clean sheet, unfortunately. And because Trent didn't play, I ended up getting Liveramento subbed on for 5 points. So that was a bit jammy there. Brownhill got 2 points. Salah, captain, got me 24. Rafinha got me 8 points, but it seems he's possibly injured now. Jota got me 3 points, and Andros Townsend got me 2. Up front, Lukaku got me 2 points, and Ronaldo got me 6. So I think overall that was a small red arrow. And if I compare it to the points I would have got had I not wildcarded, I think I probably had it in my head I was going to downgrade one striker and upgrade the other. So I would have had to have had a 4.5 striker. I wouldn't have got any points anyway. I probably would have brought in Lukaku. So I think I worked out about 55 points. So a net of 3 points there from the wildcard.
Yeah, we are building for the future, and it was building for the next couple of game weeks.
Exactly.
And your overall ranks, you went down, small red arrow, what are you at sitting at now?
1,111,603. Okay. Never mind. James didn't play either. That was another thing. I was torn between James and Antonio. Alonso. And I went James.
I was going to say, I don't know what Moline feels like. I've not been outside the top 500k this year so far, Tom.
Oh, well done.
Right, here comes my dilemma then, right? Obviously, Ricardo didn't work, so I'm still planning a wildcard game week 7 with the Chelsea fixture swing. So I've got one transfer punt left to go. I'm currently thinking, no, I've no money in the bank, I've 0.3 in the bank. Ricardo's 7.5, so I've got 7.8 all in, and I'm currently thinking right now, Edward, one last game week punt against Brighton. Convince me otherwise, or who should I go for instead?
You're thinking Edward, will he start?
He's built up his minutes. So he had 12 minutes, then 25 minutes, a full week off. I think he's playing against Brighton at home. I'll listen for team news, obviously. I'm not going to just jump in and do it without, but I think he's going to play.
For a 1 week punt. Is there any sort of budget associated with that?
I've got 7 point. So if Ricarlison goes, I've got 7.8 million.
Right. Strikers, let's have a look. Because Antonio will be back.
I think I can't get him now. 7.9.
Oh, is his price? His price still rose?
Yep, 7.8 is now.
Wow.
I think he'll be back in the wild card anyway. That'll be my two up top. But as it stands, I can't get to him. And I'm just looking at the fixtures. I'm like, 1 week. Monday night football as well.
Aye.
That last play after the last game week.
What was the budget again?
7.8.
Callum Wilson would be my punt against Watford.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'll think about it.
2 goals already.
He's red flagged.
Is he?
Aye, no injury, no return date. You're trying to sell me a pub, Tom.
Okay, Joe Linton then.
I like to look at Joe Linton as well, I did. But I think I'll need convinced. I think I'm going to go for Crystal Palace. I'm going to go for Eddie. French Eddie.
Well, Bamford's not playing tonight, so who would be playing up front for Leeds?
I can't get him too much money.
No, but Bamford's injured, so it'd be someone else, would it not?
Oh, right.
Or potentially could be injured because he's not playing tonight and he's playing against West Ham. I mean, they're not being too bad defensive-wise either.
The other option is I could just play Tony and Armstrong up front and get a midfielder in. For the fixtures, mm-hmm. Who do you think looks good in the fixtures this week? I've got Son, do I? So I can either keep Son against Arsenal or I get rid of Son and have £10 million to spend. So that could get you pretty much empty apart from the premiums.
Is Son not injured though?
No, he's not flagged anymore.
Oh, is he not? In that case, you could go for Greenwood against Villa.
Mm-hmm.
You could go Damari Gray against Norwich.
I like that one actually.
You could take a punt and, well, no. Burnley haven't been too bad, really, have they? I was going to say maybe like Barnes. He's kind of hit a nice patch with Leicester recently.
Yeah, he looked not bad in the highlights as well. Right, I think I will go either between, like you said, Gray for Everton or Edward against Brighton.
Yeah.
It's all 1 week, and then I'm planning a wild card the next game week anyway, and then I'll pretty much not a brand new score, maybe 6-7 changes tops.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a clean slate after that.
Right, Tom, that's us. Let's anything else you want to add? Well, we've not even mentioned our captains. Captain's transfer, sorry, I mentioned mine, so which yours?
My captain will be, I think I'm probably going to bank the transfer this week because I wild carded last week. In saying that, I'll have to see what happens with Trent and Rafinha, but I could still get by. Captain-wise, probably got to be Salah against Brentford. And vice, just in case, maybe Ronaldo. I suppose there's an argument you could captain Ronaldo against Villa. They've not been so good defensive-wise. Probably going to be a coin toss between those two.
And rule transfer for Sugar 2 next week?
Yeah. I need to see what the situation is with James. I might have to.
He's not played the last two. He was on my wild card list, but now I'm kind of.
Well, he was red carded one game, so he was banned for one. Which is why I thought he was probably. He's had a bit of a rest. He'd probably be nailed to come back in, but alas, not the case.
Okay. What's the thought? And then also next week I can discuss with you is my wild card. If I'm definitely going to trigger it, and then we can take it for there. Right, Tom, get your plugs in. We're ready to go.
I am at @FFS_scout on Twitter. Any questions, hit me up. I don't know when the next article will be, so keep your eyes peeled.
Keep really peeled. to a season. Right, I am at Fantasy Half. Gunnar's at FPL_Gunnar. And we'll be back next week. You can catch us on Twitter. Save the finals of the John Coffrey Cup. John, good luck in it, Tom. Hope you go all the way to the final.
Well, fingers crossed.
I don't know if I want you to win it or not. I'll get to the final, be good. And that is us. If you like the podcast, give us a review of you. I'll get your podcast. And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Say goodbye, Tom.
Bye-bye.
That's bye for me. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.